Halloween is just around the corner. Maybe you've got your outfit picked out, your kids' outfit, your pet's outfit, your Roomba's outfit. You heard me, your Roomba's costume. There are people who dress up their robotic vacuums. And I got to tell you, it's not just on Halloween. A recent study from Georgia Tech showed that people become deeply attached to the little suckers, naming them, referring to them as he and she. We'll talk to one of the head researchers of that study in just a moment. But back to the people who dress up their vacuums. It seemed like a case of supply and demand to some kids in Acton, Mass, who started a costume company called My Room Bud. So I spoke with the Smith brothers, 16-year-old Tyler and 13-year-old Niles, just before they went to school, and they gave me the skinny on the Roomba costume business. Okay, Tyler, tell me the kind of costumes you make for the Roombas.
Well, we tried to turn the iRobot Roombas into pets. Our originals were cows and leopards and tigers and zebras. Since we've added a French maid, that actually sells a lot too.
Now that it's Halloween, Niles, have you decided to branch out a little bit more? Costumes like the French maid?
Well, we're thinking about making a dog and a cat, and we're thinking about creating a Halloween special, which might be a pumpkin.
Excellent idea. I think that's an excellent idea. So, Tyler, how did you guys get started?
Well, about 2 years ago, we found out that my mom wanted a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas. And to make some extra pocket money for Christmas shopping, we started the Roomba business. And after Christmas, that had taken off so much that we decided to keep it going. And so now we have the My Roomba business.
Tyler, why do you think grown adults who just spent a couple of $100 on a robot vacuum want to dress it up in a costume?
One of my personal opinions is it's the same thing that got my brother Griffin liking the Roomba. When he first saw it going around the floor, and it looked like an animal. And the costumes really turned it into an animal even more. So that's, I think, what attracts grown-ups as much as my brother.
Niles, how's business? How many orders are you guys getting?
For business, we're very close to selling about 800 Roombuds. Our goal is to sell 1,000 by the end of the year. In November and December, we get about 5 to 10 a day, but on the average day, we only get one or two.
Well, good luck, you guys. I'm going to suggest an elf Roomba for Christmas.
That sounds interesting. You're thinking a reindeer, actually.
That's good, too. So I guess you have to go out there and get a lot of red-green felt and some little antlers and stuff.
Definitely.
Hey, Niles and Tyler, thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
They were already a step ahead of me. I love that. Reindeer Roombuds. Okay, now to the science of this story about vacuum attachment. Researchers at Georgia Tech scoured the internet and found control groups of Roomba-attached individuals who have gotten emotionally involved with the little robots. A member of the research team joins us. Jia Young Sung is a graduate student at Georgia Tech who studies emotional design. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So what were some of the reasons that people gave you for their attachment to these little robot vacuums?
Okay, so if you look at the data deep down, the one reason that comes before everything else is a practical benefit of it. So people feel the Roomba does the work that you don't want to do, and for some people, Roomba even does a better job than themselves. So in the work, Roomba makes the cleaning so much easier, increases cleaning frequency, and consequently increases the cleanliness of the home so people can maintain a cleaner house without much less effort. So, of course, that brings into people appreciate for the work they do, and they want to return the service that Roomba does for them.
So they're grateful to the vacuums for keeping the house clean, so therefore they have an attachment because they become grateful to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and there's one more thing to it. And the Roomba is a robot that moves autonomously, and people tend to react anthropomorphically to the unit. So they thank, they praise Roomba, and they even reprimand Roomba if it doesn't behave themselves. So, you know, that also combined with a benefit that Roomba brings.
So they scold the Roomba? They've been known to scold them?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You study emotional design, and I know that's a big part of it. So if you can kind of explain to us what emotional design is and tell us how that design of the Roombas helped people to become so involved.
Okay, so emotional design is a design that makes people, that bonds people with technology in a personally meaningful way. So make you care about the technology and want to talk about it to other people. So emotional design can be anything as simple as I have an iPhone and that's so sleek and I'm a cool person, and that's also part of emotion, to the point that I really care about it, I don't want it to break, that's also emotional design. So the way Roomba is designed, it was never anticipated from the beginning. It's not meant to be bond with people because it's a vacuum cleaner, you know. But it moves, and it actually, you know, the interesting thing is that Roomba bumps into the walls and it moves randomly. So the random movement really triggers people that it's like a human being, and it triggers so much of anthropomorphic power that they really relate Roomba with something that's living, that's alive.
Something I think is interesting is the company that makes Roomba, iRobot, they also make robots for the military. They have in the past some of these robots that would pick up bombs and go into dangerous situations. Now, those are decidedly not cute robots. Now, right. You make a point that original Roombas broke down a lot. A lot of people didn't think that was particularly cute. Yet the fact that the product is cute is one of the reasons that people become so loving towards them.
I have to kind of disagree with that, because even for the military robot, the soldiers get so much emotional attached to it.
Do they really?
They name their bombing robots, and so an iRobot person told me that when I visited Fair, they said the soldier actually called the customer center and says, like, can you please fix my, I forgot the name, but the name of the robot, which was a female name, and of course I was not in the status that can be fixed, so the soldier was very sad.
So I guess I stand corrected. War robots are cute, too, or meaningful as well.
Or it's really lonely over there.
So in your research, did you find anybody having the opposite reaction to Roombas, people who really had an unrealistic dislike for them?
Of course. The same reason. So if people get emotionally attached to it, they will forgive the Roomba for your Roomba being Roomba breakdown, but on the other hand, if they don't like Roomba, they will not ever forgive it. They, one of my participants didn't even know where his Roomba was. He used it, he let it clean, and it got stuck under the furniture some years ago, and he forgot about it. He totally forgot. And one day he realized, oh, my Roomba's gone, but I don't care. I don't like it. And another participant, her dog was so afraid of it, like to the point that it really drove the dog crazy, so she stopped using it.
It's a fascinating study, something I never thought somebody'd get that involved with, but you made it very interesting for us. Jia Young Song is a grad student at Georgia Tech who studies emotional design. She was part of that research team that compiled a study on Roomba culture. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.